Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
Don't ask, don't tell. That's my commitment to you.
Out of the closet!
In the streets!
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 God will forgive you, but you need to admit that it is a sin. Homosexual marriage is something that could never happen, because homosexual behavior is sin.
They are literally voiceless, not yet with tongues, and perhaps even without names yet. They, too, require our most careful attention and radical support.
There are senators that involved with the slaughtering of innocent children. Our vice president goes to communion, and yet he has supported the sucking out of brains of babies.
Well, it's always a big deal when the president of the United States appears in person to address any group. They'll do it with the press club. They'll do it with various political constituencies. What does it mean that President Obama recently addressed Human Rights Campaign? What is this organization? And what did he promise this group that has a strong agenda in terms of gay, lesbian, transgendered, and bisexual rights in the United States? Promises made in that kind of a forum, I think people ought to listen carefully. And the president has a track record of keeping his promises when made to gay activists. We're going to talk a little bit about that, the president's address Saturday to a gay activist group. Also, the House passage of a bill late last week on hate crimes that would include sexual orientation for the victim. And we'll also talk about a new Pew Forum poll on same-sex civil unions with Peter Sprague of the Family Research Council here in this half hour of Issues, etc. Greetings and welcome. We're back live this Monday afternoon. It's October the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Peter Sprague, we'll review a sermon on St. Michael and All Angels preached recently by Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. Our call-in number for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us with questions or comments right here in the studio, TalkBack at issuesetc.org, or you can always Twitter questions or comments to us at issuesetc. Peter Sprague is Senior Fellow for Policy Studies for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Peter, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
What is the Human Rights Campaign?
Well, the Human Rights Campaign is the country's largest organization promoting what I call the pro-homosexual political agenda, basically. And the event that President Obama spoke to on Saturday night was their annual fundraising dinner. This was a $250 a plate black tie dinner with 3,000 people in attendance.
Have any previous presidents addressed this group, Human Rights Campaign?
Only one. Bill Clinton, at one time in 1997, addressed the Human Rights Campaign. So this was only the second time.
What kind of promises has the president made, did he make on Saturday to Human Rights Campaign?
Well, he gave a very rousing speech to them, basically endorsing every part of their agenda, with the sole exception of not explicitly endorsing same-sex marriage. He perhaps the strongest statement he made in way of promises was this statement, which I think you played in your opening there, where he said, "I will end Don't Ask, Don't Tell." And, it was a kind of a bold promise, since he really doesn't have the full authority to do that because the exclusion of homosexuals from the military is by statute passed by Congress. So he would have to get Congress to go along. But he promised that he's going to work on that, as well as repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act and passage of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act and the passage of the hate crimes bill, which seems to be imminent.
What of the president's, not only his rhetoric, but also his record so far, it's a short record so far, gives us any indication of how serious he is about appeasing gay activists in the U.S.?
Well, it's interesting that because our perspective, since we oppose this agenda, we feel that President Obama is the most radically pro-homosexual president we've ever had, and we're alarmed by what he's done. But the homosexual activists themselves have been disappointed. They would like to see him push further and faster for this agenda. I personally think they're a little bit naive in their expectations. I mean, we have a president who is fighting two wars abroad and dealing with an economy in crisis at home, trying to reform the entire healthcare system of our nation. And I think it's naive for them to expect him to give priority to this, you know, a divisive social issue that appeals to basically about 2% of the population. But he has done what he could. He has extended certain benefits to same-sex partners of federal employees, those that he was able to do without a change in the law. He's done symbolic things like giving Presidential Medal of Freedom posthumously to Harvey Milk, who was an early gay rights activist who was murdered in San Francisco. And he even mentioned, I was so astounded, he mentioned in his speech the fact that they invited homosexual-headed families to participate in the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn this year. So he's done quite a few symbolic things to show his support for their agenda, but doesn't have and also appointed a number of high-ranking people to his administration who are openly homosexual. But as far as the legislative agenda, the hate crimes bill, which is pending, would be really the first accomplishment that he's brought about for them.
You mentioned a moment ago that it was a $250 a plate event on Saturday night. Was the president at least indirectly helping raise money for Human Rights Campaign?
Well, yes. I mean, I think you could certainly say that. Now, the Human Rights Campaign itself is I believe they're a 501c3 organization, a nonprofit organization like the Family Research Council is. So I don't know that would pose any legal problems. But he certainly was helping them out in that way.
President Obama has, as you mentioned before, stated that he opposes same-sex marriage, that is, marriage in particular. However, has he given any indication since he's been in office that he still sticks by his opposition to gay marriage?
Well, this is the thing, because I have argued that President Obama's stated position on same-sex marriage is logically incoherent, because on the one hand he has not been willing to openly endorse same-sex marriage, and yet he has actively opposed virtually every possible method available of preserving the traditional definition of marriage. He opposes the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. He opposes state constitutional amendments to define marriage. He opposes anything that would prevent same-sex marriage. He's just not willing to come out and support it. What he said in his speech, I have the transcript before me, he made a couple of comments about treating I support ensuring that committed gay couples have the same rights and responsibilities afforded to any married couple in this country. So that is his way of saying he supports civil unions, but it's really a very strong statement.
Is the gay rights community, in essence, giving him a pass? I mean, what they really want is they like the word marriage. Are they giving him a pass on this for now?
Well, it's interesting. I'm reading some of the responses to this weekend's events, not only Obama's speech on Saturday night to the Human Rights Campaign, but then the march for homosexual rights, which was held yesterday here in Washington. You find a division, really, among the homosexual activists between the more radical factions, if you will, that want to push harder, and the more what you would call mainstream factions like the Human Rights Campaign, mainstream within that, the context of that movement, that are very happy with President Obama, very supportive of him. But there are certainly people on the far left of that movement who are very disgruntled with President Obama. To me, it's ironic because he clearly supports almost all of their agenda, but they've become very impatient.
With about a minute here, did you attend yesterday's gay rights rally in Washington, D.C.?
No, I did not. I've thought about it. I attended the one last November that they had to protest the passage of Proposition 8 in California, but I was taking care of my own family values and attended my son's baseball game yesterday afternoon, so I couldn't go.
We're talking with Peter Sprague, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of the break. I'd like your reaction, President Obama's address to this gay rights activist group, Human Rights Campaign, on Saturday. I also want to know if you favor the legalization of same-sex civil unions but oppose same-sex marriage. Do you thread the needle the same way President Obama does? 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can email questions or comments to us right here in the studio. It's Monday, October the 12th. We're coming to you live. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Or Twitter your questions or comments to us at issuesetc. At issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You'll find a link to Peter Sprague and the Family Research Council under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org. Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about several issues with Peter Sprague of the Family Research Council, President Obama's address Saturday to a gay rights activist group, a gay rights rally yesterday in Washington. We'll get to the House passage late last week of the hate crimes bill and a new Pew Forum poll on same-sex civil unions. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. You mentioned before the break that there is a split in the gay rights activist community. The kind of impatient wing want everything now, and then the go slow strategy. What is that strategy as far as you can tell? Do they fear a backlash?
Well, I think they rightly fear a backlash, and what they saw in California was an illustration of that with the passage of Proposition 8 last year, even after the California State Supreme Court had declared same-sex marriage to be a constitutional right. The people spoke at the ballot box and reversed that decision by amending their state constitution. So and it's interesting that a lot of homosexual activists were surprised at that defeat. I wasn't surprised at all because every state that's had the opportunity to vote on this issue has voted in favor of the traditional definition of marriage. But the part of the go slow effort is being content with incremental changes, perhaps civil unions where they can get those, or with passing same-sex marriage in a few liberal states like the New England states that adopted it legislatively for the first time this year. But also the more go slow approach has applied to the legal efforts as well. There are some people, of course, their initial success with legalizing same-sex marriage came only through the courts in places like Massachusetts and then California, Connecticut, Iowa have all issued rulings in favor of same-sex marriage. But the more moderate wing does not want to mount a federal challenge to seek legalization of same-sex marriage under the federal constitution because they think they would lose right now. They don't think they have 5 votes in the U.S. Supreme Court to get sort of a Roe v. Wade of same-sex marriage. Nevertheless, some of the more impatient people have filed a lawsuit with some pretty high-powered lawyers behind it. Ted Olson, who's a Republican, and David Boies, a Democrat. They've filed a federal lawsuit trying to accomplish just that. So I think particularly in the area of legal strategy on marriage, that's where there's a real division between the moderates and the more radicals.
The House passed the bill again this week, and I can announce that after more than a decade, this bill is set to pass, and I will sign it into law.
That's President Obama speaking Saturday to a gay rights activist group called Human Rights Campaign about a hate crimes bill passed late last week by the U.S. House. What exactly did the House approve of with regard to hate crimes, Peter?
Well, they had approved a hate crimes bill as a standalone measure earlier in the year, but that didn't go anywhere in the Senate. And so what they've done now is to attach the hate crimes bill as a as an amendment to a defense authorization bill. Now, this is one of those political ploys that I think drives ordinary citizens crazy, but it's a way that people get legislation passed in Congress that they don't think can stand on its own. They attach it to a popular bill that on the theory that people will find it hard to vote against that. Nevertheless, over 140 members of the House did vote against it, but this defense authorization bill passed, and the same bill, the defense authorization bill with a hate crimes provision, is expected to pass the Senate sometime this week.
Here is Herman calling from Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask your guest, on this hate crimes bill, under what conditions can you clarify where clergy speaking traditionally in terms of support of traditional marriage, a man and a woman, they speak out, under what circumstances are they likely to be prosecuted federally? Apparently there's a criminal rider in there. If a person hears them and goes out to commit a crime against a homosexual, that the person who spoke it is liable to a federal felony prosecution. Could you explain exactly how this stands?
Thank you very much, Herman.
Sure. The sponsors of the hate crimes bill insist that it will not be applied to speech or to peaceful expressions of opinion at all. The actual language of the bill says that it allows prosecution for people who cause bodily injury or attempt to cause bodily injury to another individual based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. Now, the possibility, it's not written in the bill, but some people have raised a concern of a hypothetical situation where if a pastor were to preach against homosexuality and then a member of his congregation were to go out and commit a violent act against a homosexual, that perhaps the pastor could be charged with inciting this act and therefore could be subject to criminal charges. There's an effort been made by Senator Brownback in the Senate in particular to amend this hate crimes bill in a way that will make it clear that that cannot happen. And I'm not sure exactly. I was just looking before I got on the phone with you about looking for the exact language and had difficulty locating it. So there are efforts to amend it to prevent that from happening. But what I want to point out is even if this particular law is only applied to violent acts, I believe it sets us on a slippery slope toward an expansion of the law in the future. We've seen this in other countries where people have been punished simply for preaching against homosexuality. In Sweden, a man was arrested for that. And even in this country, in Pennsylvania, a group of people protesting against a gay pride parade, protesting quite peacefully, were arrested and charged with a hate crime. So while this bill may not have that kind of provision in it, we're concerned that there are certainly people in the homosexual movement who would like to see hate speech punished as well as hate violence. And we're concerned also about the symbolic statement this bill makes. It, even if it only punishes violent crimes, it makes a symbolic statement that any opposition to homosexual conduct is a form of hate. And that's something that we vigorously disagree with as well.
Martha is listening in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Martha. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. I've had some discussions on Facebook with liberals who are in favor of gay marriage. And the thing is, several churches consider this a sacrament. And, you know, the Orthodox, the Catholic, some Lutherans, Anglican. And how does that affect, if this does pass, the Gay Marriage Act, the intrusion of civil litigation or penalty on clergy who refuse to marry? I just see it going toward limiting the freedom of religious expression.
Martha, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kentucky.
Yeah, I think that probably clergy would probably not be subject to any punishment for refusing to marry same-sex couples, just as they're not punished now if they refuse to marry couple who are from different religions, for example. That's legal, but some churches may not approve of that. So I think the clergy would probably be fairly safe, but the question arises with the use of facilities, for example. We've already had a case where a Methodist camp in New Jersey was punished for refusing to rent their facility for the use of a lesbian couple for a commitment ceremony. So I think the First Amendment will probably be strong enough to protect the clergy, but there will still be threats to religious liberty in other areas like that.
Okay, with only a minute, your reaction to most recent polling from the Pew Forum claiming a rising majority of people, favor civil unions, if not same-sex marriage. Your thoughts with less than a minute.
Right. Well, I think that a lot of people are trying to people who do not feel strongly about the issue one way or the other are searching for a middle ground on this issue, and they think that civil unions are that middle ground. But what I would like to remind them is something about this issue of the benefits of marriage, which is society gives benefits to marriage because marriage gives benefits to society, the chief of which is the reproduction of the human race and providing a mother and father for children who are produced by that union. And so the burden of proof needs to be on the homosexual activists to demonstrate that their relationships actively benefit society, not just benefit themselves, but benefit society in the same way and to the same degree that heterosexual marriage does. Now, I think that's a burden they simply can't meet. So that's why we would oppose civil unions as well. But I think people are searching for some common ground. I think it's a misguided conclusion that they reach.
Peter Sprague is Senior Fellow for Policy Studies for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
When we come back from this break, the last half hour of the program today is devoted to a review of a recent sermon preached by Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, where he's preaching on the occasion of St. Michael and All Angels. And the text from the Old Testament and the New, from the book of Daniel and from the book of Hebrews about the casting down of Satan and all his minions. We'll review that sermon on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
This is a message for members of Thrive and Financial for Lutherans. Thrive and Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrive and will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrive and Giving Plus gift form under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrive and Giving Plus.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The dignity of plants?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
As Chuck Colson recently discussed in his Breakpoint commentary, Switzerland has moved to enshrine the dignity of plants in its national constitution. How can plants have dignity, we ask? As ethicist Wesley J. Smith has pointed out, such thinking only comes after the rejection of the unique dignity of human life. After going down this road, it was only logical, he notes, that, quote, we would come to see fauna and flora as entitled to rights. While this may sound harmless enough, such a worldview undermines the sanctity of human life by assigning us a place among the plants.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.